Gold arrived in San Angelo after dark, later than expected. It was received with little fanfare, since Finch wanted as few people as possible to know about the gold. Unfortunately, it was almost impossible to keep secrets in a town as small as San Angelo. Finch and Leeds supervised the movement of the gold into the safe. The guards that came with the gold were used, and then were positioned throughout the town to be available if needed.
Bad break about your dinner, Colonel Leeds. None of us expected Fist to come gunning for me like that. I would never have thought it of him.
Like I said before, there's no telling what a man will do.
Still, the way Delgado walked out.
Delgado didn't want to negotiate in good faith. He was interested only in making himself seem reasonable. What he really wanted was an excuse to continue what he's already been doing, and to make us look like the bad guys. I'm not sure if Easton and Holtz fell for it or not. On the other hand, they can always say they tried and Delgado was being unreasonable. Who knows?
Finch stepped up and pounded Leeds on the shoulder.
Hey, heard the good news about you and Rosie. Congratulations.
So you actually did pop the question. You do like to live dangerously. And she agreed to your demands?
You'll understand someday, Matt. There'll come a time when you'll want more from life than wandering and excitement.
I can't see it coming for a long, long time.
Trust me, it'll happen.
What if you get a promotion? She willing to go with you?
What? And leave all this behind? She'll be by my side from now on, and I couldn't be happier.
Then we'd better make sure that another fiasco doesn't happen like last night. Matt, Sam, you take your positions as we discussed. I'm going over to keep track of Murdoch. We may have to wait for a few hours or several days, so let's get started.
Ben and Tom entered the outskirts of San Jacinto. To them, the town looked about the same as the others they had passed through, except that it did have a fort-like building in its center.
You got my last dollar. But if your friend gave you the wrong direction, I want my money back.
No, that's a done deal. I think that Whaley's probably here. It's still a matter of looking in the right place.
Better do it pretty soon. I'm getting hungry. And we still don't have any guns. I'm not too keen on spending another night outside with not even a blanket.
Just stay calm. I'll handle it.
You think so? Well, you're not the only person that can find somebody. Watch this!
Oh, please don't.
Ben ignored Tom's plea as he went up to a group of men around a water trough.
Hey, man! We're looking for somebody. Maybe you can help us.
Yeah? Who are you looking for?
Man named Dingo Whaley.
And why would you be looking for him?
We have information that he'd be interested in. We want to tell him personally.
Ben was interrupted by a large caliber handgun stuffed into his guts.
How bad you want to see Whaley?
Pretty bad.
Off the horse. Both of you. I'll take you both to him. I'll warn you, he might not like to be interrupted. You still want to meet him?
Well, it could wait.
The men pushed Tom and Ben in front of them toward the fort-like structure.
Too late for that. You wanted to see Whaley? You'll see Whaley. It might be the last thing you ever see, unless you tell one hell of a story.
Why don't you do the talking this time?
I think that'd be a wise idea.
At the cantina, Delgado, seated at the table, told the story to Whaley.
You should have seen the look on the official's face when I told him I couldn't deal with a country that couldn't even enforce its own laws. And when I informed them that I would arrest any of their law officers that stepped foot on Mexican soil, the moment was priceless. Perhaps the high point of my career.
Yeah, that would have been worth seeing. But I don't imagine you called me here to tell me these stories, as funny as they are.
That is correct. I have some information for you. The gold you are interested in is to arrive tonight. It is supposed to be a secret, but you know how secrets are.
Perfect. I'll have my men together and ready to ride.
One of your men is also being held in the same fort, a man named Mel Murdoch.
Murdoch? He's a joke. We left him behind, hoping they'd kill him. Guess we didn't get lucky after all.
The talk was interrupted when Pierce entered the cantina, pushing two other men in front of him. They looked like small-time hoods to Whaley and were of no concern to him.
What's with this trash?
These two jokers were asking about you around town. They said they have some information for you.
Today must be your lucky day.
So you brought them to me? What information could they have that would interest me?
We just come in from San Angelo. We got information about one of your men, Mel Murdoch.
Whaley rolled his eyes toward the sky.
How many times do I have to hear about Murdoch? I would have been better off shooting him myself.
Well, he's being held by the authorities up at Fort Concho.
So why should I care?
Well, he's getting preferential treatment. We've seen it with our own eyes, and you know why?
Whaley leaned forward, elbows on the table, holding a glass in his hands.
Please, do tell.
Because he's squealing on you. He's turned on you, testifying against you in return for a lighter sentence. They offered us the same kind of deal, but...
Whaley's hands suddenly grew white.
What difference does it make? You're in Mexico now. They can't touch you. Why worry about it?
Because I don't like anybody going against me. More importantly, I don't like Murdoch. We just have to teach him a lesson and give the message to anybody else that is thinking about crossing Dingo Whaley.
He looked up, saw Tom and Ben still standing quietly before him.
You two are still here?
We were thinking, well, maybe you could use our help. That is, you know, let us join your gang.
You think your information was that valuable?
Tom began to sweat. Nothing ever seemed to work out for him like it was supposed to. He took a deep breath and continued talking.
We could help your men in lots of ways. We know the layout of Fort Concho. We know where Murdoch's being held. We could help guide you.
And I'm good with explosives. You give me the dynamite, I can guarantee an explosion right where you want it.
I don't like partial measures. How about leveling the entire building while on the back of a running horse?
If that's what you want, that's what I'll do.
Whaley leaned back in his chair.
Well, then maybe you two can be of help after all. What about it, Delgado? How are you with supplies of dynamite? Think you could spare a few sticks?
A box or two?
That could be arranged. When would you like it?
Let's strike while the iron is hot. We'll be there tomorrow night. We'll hit them before they know what's happening.
Then let's do it. Revenge and gold. Killing two birds with one stone. I like it. I like it a lot.
Sam, it's Mary. Can I come in?
Sam rose and unlatched the door. Mary walked in, carrying a basket and a pot of coffee.
I'm not complaining, mind you, but this is supposed to be kind of secret.
I won't tell anybody. And nobody saw me come in here. I pretended like I'm bringing this to the colonel for a snack. Besides, you've been here for a very long time. I thought you could use some help.
This is luxurious compared to some places I've been, but thank you. This is very considerate of you.
She put the basket down softly.
Sam, will you hold me? I feel very alone.
The request startled Sam, but he allowed the woman to come sit next to him on the floor. He put his arm around her and held her close.
What's the problem? I'm listening.
Rosie is going to marry the colonel. They will probably move away, sooner than later. Rosie's been like a big sister to me. When she moves away, I'll have nobody.
I never thought of that. I'm really happy for Leeds and for Rosie. It could be a bum deal for you. Maybe I could talk with Leeds.
No, that's not what I want. I don't know what I want exactly. I know you're not the man for me. You're not ready to settle down. You may never be. But you are special, and I wanted to spend at least a little time with you before you go. Can you understand that?
You flatter me. You deserve the best. Wish I could give it to you.
Sam kissed her softly. Mary returned the kiss hungrily. Sam considered making another move when she put her head on Sam's shoulder.
Thank you, Sam, for listening.
She stood up, straightened her skirt.
Take care, Sam. Please, take care.
Matt's job was to help patrol the area outside the fort. It was better than being stuck inside for an indefinite period of time, as Josiah and Sam had been, but there was no guarantee he would be in on the action when it started. Some soldiers were patrolling other parts of San Angelo, but there was always the possibility that the Whaley gang could sneak into town undetected. Or maybe they wouldn't show at all, in spite of the gold and the prisoner being used as bait. As Josiah said, nothing in life was certain. And it was a plan. If it didn't work, all they had lost was a little time. If it did work, they would have the Whaley gang in custody. It was worth the gamble. He rode slowly, keeping off the main road. Even now, after dark, there was a steady stream of people entering and leaving the city. Matt watched them all in silence, waiting for something to happen. Inside the fort, Sam continued to sit with his back to the wall so that he could keep in view of the window, door, and safe. He figured that when the Whaley gang made their move, they would come into town quietly and try to kill Murdoch and take the gold with as little fanfare as possible. After all, why would they be interested in a full-fledged gunfight? Sam's mind, however, kept drifting to Mary's kiss. She was warm and willing. Had he pushed a little more, she would have given herself to him. Yet, he had not pushed. Instead, he had let her talk and then returned to the cantina, leaving the basket of food behind. Perhaps it was because Sam knew something of loneliness. He had a few friends, and he was closer to Matt, his blood brother, than most people could ever imagine. Still, he was essentially a loner. He had lost his parents. He never stayed in one place for very long at a time. He had no wife and no plans to look for one. There were times when he thought about a different life, one like Mary had talked about, and he understood. Because of that, he could not take advantage of her. She would eventually find the life she wanted. Sam felt it would not be fair to make an implicit promise that he could not fulfill, so he let her walk away. Still, he remembered how her body had felt against him and the scent of her hair when her head rested on his shoulder. The room suddenly felt small and confined. Sam stood, walked around to stretch his legs, glanced out the window to see if anything was out of the ordinary. So far, only the usual crowds of people were out and about. Sam returned to his position to continue his vigil. Whaley and his gang planned simple, direct action. Move in fast, move in hard. Don't try anything fancy with Murdoch, just dynamite the cell into rubble. Don't try to finesse the gold, just dynamite the building, grab the gold, and get out. Make it like an old-fashioned military raid. No prisoners, just destruction. Jessup primarily organized the group with Ben's help in arranging the explosives. With such a simple plan, there wasn't a whole lot that needed to be arranged. In addition to the mounted riders, they brought along several horses to carry the gold. Delgado was generous with the dynamite, which was packed on two additional horses. It was enough explosives to do the job and then some. It was more dynamite than Ben had ever seen at one time in his life. It was strangely exciting to him. As the arrangements were being made, Tom felt almost like an outsider. He didn't look or act like the other members of the gang. He didn't have the expertise to contribute as Ben did. Most of the others ignored him as they got their own horses and gear ready. Tom felt even more out of place as the gang saddled up and were on their way. They all rode together as a team, occasionally talking among themselves. Pierce handled the extra horses. Ben handled the horses with the dynamite. Tom had nothing to do but try and keep up. It was nearly dark as they reached San Angelo. The group stopped briefly to compare notes.
Tom, you bring us to the jail first. Ben, blow the hell out of that place and do it fast. Then go for the gold. If anybody moves, shoot them. You all know your jobs. The rest of us will provide cover. Now go.
Ben had never fought in a war, but as he rode toward the town with the others, he thought this must be how it felt to ride into battle, a part of a group that knew how to get results. The night wind blew against his face. The horse was strong beneath him. The dynamite was solid in his hand. Mary was taking a break from her duties at Rosie's. She dried her hands on a towel as she leaned against the wall of the cantina. Her mind was not on her job. Instead, she was thinking about Sam and their brief talk earlier in the day. Why hadn't Sam made a play for her, as so many other men did? He had been a perfect gentleman. He made her feel like she was somebody important, not just a barmaid. He had talked to her as a person, somebody whose thoughts and feelings mattered. And maybe they did. She daydreamed for a few minutes longer, enjoying the cool night air. She thought of Sam cooped up in that little room and wondered if she could visit later in the evening. This time, she perhaps would not leave so soon. Sam surely wouldn't be mad about that. Her thoughts were interrupted by the arrival of a dozen or more horsemen. They were coming in fast. In seconds, they came into sight, headed straight for the area of the fort where the prisoner Murdoch was being held. Soon, they were passing the adobe houses and cantinas to the fort. Ben found the small window with bars where Murdoch was being held and lit the fuse of the dynamite. Josiah Finch sat in a straight-backed chair leaning against a wall, a shotgun in his lap, just outside the jail cell where Murdoch was being held.
Hey, you've been guarding me for days. You know something I don't? Think maybe Whaley's gonna try and spring me?
You tell me. Are you that valuable to the gang?
Yeah. I was one of the main guys. They couldn't do without me.
They've stayed pretty busy without you since my boys brought you in custody. If you were so important, why'd they leave you behind to start with? Why haven't they come after you sooner?
Well, hell's fire. Whaley's a busy man. They must have you worried, or why'd you be watching over me like a damn mother hen?
I've heard the rumors that you sold out Whaley, that you are working with me to put together a case against Whaley.
Murdoch's face turned white.
But that ain't true!
You've talked with me, and that's what the rumors have said. I imagine that'll get back to Whaley, and he'll come to take care of the situation.
You set me up.
Just used you to help bait the trap. The idea is to bring them to us.
Well, anyway, Whaley's too smart for that. He wouldn't fall for that old trick, would he?
You know him better than I do. You know how crazy he gets sometimes, or so I've heard. Is that true as well?
Oh, you don't want to cross him.
So what do you think?
Oh, he'll be here. I just hope you got a big enough gun to protect me.
He moved as far from the window as possible.
There'll be no telling what Whaley'll do.
When he gets here, I'll be waiting for him.
Josiah Finch saw the outside wall of the jail cave in. Rubble fell into the cell, covering Murdoch. Had he stayed next to the window, he would have been crushed. Finch was instantly in action. He fell to the floor, caught a rider in his sights through the new hole in the wall, and shot. One of the riders fell to the ground. Finch couldn't see through the dust who he had hit. Several men started to fire through the hole. Finch shot back blindly and then reloaded the shotgun. One of the riders moved in close, holding several sticks of dynamite wired together with a short fuse. He tossed it through the hole into the cell. Finch dived for cover, but it was too late. To Finch, the next second seemed like hours. Like a bad dream, he could see the sharp piece of wood flying at him, but he could not move fast enough to get out of the way. He saw the chunk bury itself in his shoulder and felt the blood wet his shirt. From overhead, several beams started to fall. Josiah tried to roll to one side, but the pain in his shoulder slowed him down. The large pieces of wood hit him a glancing blow on the side of his head and then across his back. He managed to crawl the final few feet through the rubble to the street before he finally collapsed, unconscious. Mary burst into Sam's room only seconds after he heard the huge explosion from down the street. Only Sam's quick instincts and training kept him from shooting.
They've dynamited the jail! It's gone! Totally gone! Get out! They'll be here next!
Sam knew Mary was telling the truth, and that the Whaley gang was more crazed than anybody could have guessed. They weren't out just to silence Murdoch and take the gold. They wanted to level the town.
Get out of here! Get out now!
The two made it out the door just as Ben rode up under cover of gunfire and tossed another huge bunch of dynamite wired together against the outside wall. Wood and adobe rained down on Sam and Mary. He pushed Mary to the ground and covered her with his body. The door to the safe was obliterated. Chunks of metal flew through the air. One nasty piece hit Sam in the back of the head, though he had managed to protect Mary from most of the force of the attack. In seconds, Whaley's gang was inside the open safe. They efficiently gathered together the gold and placed it in bags, which they loaded on the spare horses. From up and down the street, a few soldiers were shooting, but they had no clear view of the enemy, and at the moment, they were outnumbered by the guns of Whaley's gang. In less than 5 minutes, the gold had been cleaned out. Then another figure came racing down the street. The gunfire from Whaley's men slowed him down, but could not stop him. The men still on the ground quickly got back in their saddles.
Good job, men! Now let's get out of here!
The outlaws raced south, guns banging behind them, discouraging pursuit.
Started, damn it!
Matt was just outside town when he heard the first explosion. He knew that he could not monitor every entrance into town, but he was still angry that the Whaley gang had made it past the soldiers that had been positioned along the way. He spurred his horse back toward the fort. The first thing he saw was a pile of rubble that had once been the jail. He then saw Josiah Finch lying in the street, a piece of wood sticking out of his shoulder. He stopped and found Josiah was still breathing. He spotted a cowboy hiding behind a horse trough.
You there? Get the post doctor. Pronto. If he's not here in 5 minutes, I'll track you down. Got it?
The cowboy nodded his head, and Matt got back on his horse. Hot lead met him as he raced down the street. He fired in the direction where he thought the shots were coming from, but his progress was slowed by the bullets.
Matt! Matt! Matt!
When he found Sam, barely conscious, Matt reacted like a wild man. He ran into the building, guns blazing, indifferent to any danger to himself. By this time, the gold had all been moved, and the last outlaw was getting back in the saddle and racing into the night. Matt could have given chase, but he had other priorities.
Oh.
He kneeled by Sam, who groaned and touched the back of his head.
Oh, I'm all right. Don't let them get away. Those bastards are crazier than any of us thought. We can't let them get away with this.
We'll get them later. Right now, we have other things to worry about. Josiah's been hit.
Sam shook his head to clear it and was on his feet.
Oh. Ooh. Where is he? How bad is he hurt?
I called for the doctor. He should be at the doctor's office by now, which is where you should be as well.
Don't worry about me. I have a damned hard head. Here, Mary, let me help you up.
Thank you.
We miscalculated this time. But Mary warned me. She may have saved my life.
Thank her later. Let's go take care of Josiah.
Matt and Sam knew they should be following Dingo Whaley's gang and the gold they had stolen. Maybe that was what Texas Rangers should have done. But the two Blood Brothers were friends to Josiah Finch before anything else, and they wanted to make sure he would be taken care of. They had carried him to the doctor's office on a stretcher and waited while the physician looked him over. Both men were so angry that they spoke little as they paced in the darkened room. Dr. Stanford worked in the adjoining room, lit with kerosene lamps. The light shined through a crack between the bottom of the door and the floor. Movement could be heard, but Matt and Sam could see nothing.
Maybe we shouldn't wait around for Stanford to be finished. Maybe we should go after Whaley.
We'll pick up the trail. Sometimes patience is a virtue. Remember what you learned growing up in my father's camp.
I know. I'm usually as patient as any Cheyenne, but right now I'd like to get my hands on Whaley and his men.
We will. You can count on it. We will.
Matt touched the gun on his hip.
Yes, we will.
The door finally opened, and Stanford stepped through. He sat down across from Matt and Sam. He was a graying man that served as the doctor at Fort Concho.
Your friend is one tough bird. He got hit in the head with something, a piece of wood, I guess. Would have killed most men. He's got a pretty good-sized bump, and right now he's unconscious, but he's alive. I also dug out a large piece of wood that had been forced into his shoulder by the explosion. He's lost some blood, but I imagine he'll regain full use of his arm. Otherwise, he experienced some cuts, scrapes, and bruises.
How about the other man? The other one that Josiah was guarding, Murdoch.
He's alive, but in a lot worse shape than your friend. I'm not sure he'll make it.
Thanks, Doc.
I'll check Finch's progress through the night. You don't have to worry about him. I suppose you're going after the men that did this?
If Josiah wakes up before we get back, give him a message. We'll get the job done for him, no matter what it takes.
We will get Whaley's bunch. It's now a personal matter. And we will get them no matter how long it takes or where we have to go. Nobody is going to stand in our way.
You need sunlight to cut their trail?
No. You and I both know where they're going. I'd wager any amount of money that they're headed straight for Mexico. In fact, I'm so sure of it that I've advised Colonel Leeds to station some of his men down by the river, just in case they escaped from the trap we set for them up here.
Not a bad idea. Though I doubt the Colonel's men have enough grit to actually stop them.
But it might slow them down.
Whaley led his men through the night. He didn't bother taking back trails. He just ran the horses as fast as they could go and made good time in spite of the gold on the backs of some of the horses. He sent a few of his men ahead to scout out the area of potential problems. Almost to the border, Whaley stopped his men for a brief rest when Jessup flagged them down as he returned from his scouting mission.
The Bluecoats are trying to play it smart. They have soldiers posted at many of the crossings, including the one up ahead, where we were going to cross.
How many guards?
Only a few men at each place, mainly kids. They could still be a problem. I've got some alternate routes laid out where they don't have any men at all.
We're not changing the plan.
Like I said, they have guards posted.
Are you questioning my decision?
No.
Good. Have Pierce and a few others get out their buffalo guns. Take the soldiers out and we'll be able to cross without any problem. Understand?
Yes.
Good. Do it. Now!
It didn't take long for Jessup to gather together Pierce and two others and make it to the ridge overlooking the river crossing. Below, three soldiers thought that they were hidden behind stunted trees, but they were young and inexperienced. They didn't realize that they made clear targets in the starlight.
This is almost too easy.
I don't know. This doesn't feel right to me.
What? You're getting pansy-assed in your old age?
I don't know. Maybe it's like you said. Maybe it's too easy.
Well, then let's make it more of a challenge. Hey, you down there! Yeah, you clowns by the river!
The soldiers jumped, guns ready, looking around for the voice.
Pierce, what are you doing?
Making a challenge of it. Hey, you clowns! Up here!
Finally locating the source of the voice, one of the soldiers lifted his gun, but not soon enough. Pierce's gun boomed. The heavy slug lifted the soldier off his feet and slammed him into the river. The second soldier returned the fire and dived for cover. Jessup's big gun then exploded, sending death into his chest. He fell back against the tree and slumped to the ground. Pierce's gun shot again, and the third soldier went down.
Well, that was easy. Let's meet up with Whaley.
They'll have some way to keep in contact with each other. When they don't receive word, they'll find the bodies.
And we'll be in Mexico by then. Nobody can touch us there. Don't worry about it.
Colonel Elvin Leeds felt good. He had been on horseback for hours, leading his men from Fort Concho to the Mexican border, issuing orders and arranging them in the way that he felt they would be most effective. It felt good to be in the saddle, riding through the night like he used to. Though he had never gotten away from it, the paperwork had been taking up more and more of his time. More than he had realized until now. On the other hand, he had gotten more used to being at a desk for most of the day, and the ride had left him a little sore. Maybe it was time for him to seriously consider looking for that promotion. Leeds was now riding from one checkpoint to his main base of operations, though it was nothing special. It was only a campfire around which some of his men were sitting, along with two guests he would have just as soon left behind. Throughout the night, messengers from each of the various positions would report in to him at this camp, grab a cup of coffee and a little grub, then return to their posts. It was a primitive means of communication, but it would do the job. Peter Easton and Carl Holtz stood as Leeds rode up to the fire.
Gentlemen, the men are all in position.
I still don't understand what the point of all this is, Colonel. We don't know that the Whaley gang is going to show up in San Angelo. We don't know that they're going to attack anybody or anything. This seems like a waste of federal dollars.
With all due respect, Mr. Holtz, I am still in charge of military operations, and this is my call.
Don't mind him, Colonel. I know how difficult it is for you military men to take orders from civilians. I also know that you understand your limitations, based on the law.
I understand, and I will follow the law no matter how much it may pain me, knowing as we all do that it benefits that Delgado fellow down south more than it does us.
We all have our jobs to do. You just do yours and we'll be fine. And your job is to not question policy.
Right.
Each station reported in as scheduled, except for the three men at the crossing about 6 miles downriver. Leeds was considering sending out his own messenger to investigate the delay when the next rider galloped into camp. He rode past Holtz and Easton straight to Leeds.
Sir, I have news, and it's not good.
Let's hear it.
Easton puffed out his chest as he listened. Holtz paced back and forth.
The Whaley Gang attacked last night in San Angelo, just as the Rangers said they would. Josiah Finch was injured. The other two, Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves, stayed behind to take care of Finch.
What about the gang?
They apparently got away.
Leeds had a bad feeling about the men that had not yet reported in.
Grab a cup of coffee, then report back here in 5 minutes. I'm going downriver to check on some of my men who have not reported in. I need some assistance.
Right away, sir.
The soldier saluted and walked to the fire, leading his horse behind him.
We're going with you, Colonel.
Do as you want. I really don't care. Just be ready to ride in 5 minutes. Soldiers! Snap to! Be ready to move out in 5. Double time!
Leeds' men jumped to attention and prepared to move. Matt and Sam rode at a hellish pace for the second half of the night. Occasionally, Sam would spot a sign indicating that they were going in the right direction, but most of the time was spent riding as fast as the horses could safely go in the dark. Whaley had put the gold on several horses that they had kept herded tightly together. It was faster going than a wagon would have been. Any traces of a trail was then lost in trampled ground, where Leeds' men had also passed. Sam and Matt didn't slow down. As dawn grew close, the two Blood Brothers were near the Rio Grande. They weren't concerned about looking for sign. They were certain that the Whaley Gang was following the main trail, pushing as hard as they could. Matt and Sam were also pushing their horses faster than they would have liked, hoping to catch up to the outlaws before they reached the river. The brothers paused briefly to give their horses a rest.
How many you figure there are?
Maybe a dozen or more.
The river's just ahead. It's one of the main crossings. You think Whaley would go for such an obvious place?
Apparently. He's not even trying to throw us off the trail.
I think Leeds would have some men there. It'd be nice to have Leeds as backup.
It would be, but it's not necessary. We've both faced worse odds and come out ahead. It might even be better if Leeds wasn't there.
I think he's a good man and a good officer, but we work better without a lot of interference. And then there's those political considerations. He's on our side, but with Easton and Holtz breathing down his neck, his hands are tied. It could put him in an awkward position if we have to defy him. We'll do what we have to do. He'll understand that.
He may understand that, but how will he respond? Will it be as Colonel Leeds, the officer of the U.S. Army, or as Elvin Leeds, the man, the friend of Josiah Finch?
The two men continued in silence. They moved more slowly now, more cautiously, not sure what they would find. They smelled the river. Then they heard the movement before they saw anything. Matt went on one side of the trail and Sam on the other. Guns were drawn. Senses were alert to danger. The sun edged above the horizon, making clear the scene in front of them. Colonel Leeds had his head bowed as if in prayer, while his men stood in a semicircle around him. On the ground were three blood-spattered bodies. Leeds had feared the worst, which was what he found when he arrived at the crossing where he had positioned his three soldiers. He had been in many battles with outlaws and Indians. He had seen men shot in half, hacked to death, and without their scalps. He had faced death and been wounded. Still, the idea of cold-blooded killing made him sick.
Damn it!
He knew the men were still green, but he hadn't expected them to fall so easily to the outlaw guns. Apparently, they had been shot with large caliber guns, with little more thought than if they were just animals. Two of the men had drawn their guns, and one had apparently managed to fire a shot, but it had done little good. All of the men were dead, killed with one shot each, and left to rot where they had fallen. Easton's face showed concern as they followed Leeds to the site. Leeds dismounted and personally checked the bodies.
Whaley's gang was here. Gentlemen, this is the kind of characters we are dealing with. To them, international law means nothing. Human decency means nothing.
Holtz turned green and slipped off his horse.
He stumbled into the small bushes. Leeds ignored him and continued to examine his dead soldiers with professional competence.
No need to call the surgeon. These men are all past help. Let's arrange them with at least a little dignity until we can get them back to the fort to make final arrangements.
I'll help.
Leeds glanced sharply at him, saw his overweight form and his soft hands.
You will help?
I know you all think I'm just a bureaucrat, but in my younger days I served in the military. I've worked with fathers of men like these who have died in action. I'm not indifferent to their suffering.
Perhaps I misjudged you. I apologize. I'd appreciate your help.
It took several minutes to wrap the bodies in blankets and arrange them in a line along the ground. The wounds were bad enough that blood continued to seep into the material in large splotches. Holtz stepped out from behind the bushes, looking pale.
I'm sorry.
Never seen anything like this?
No, never.
It could be a lot worse. That's one reason that Finch, Bodine, and Two Wolves are after these men.
I suppose the Whaley gang got away.
They crossed the river and are in Mexico, I'm sure of it. They kill these men like dogs. Simply want to cross. Where, need I point out, we cannot reach them.
What now?
Let's give these men a moment of silent prayer. Then I'll consider the few options open to us.
For a few moments, just before dawn, even the air seemed to grow still as the men stood with bowed heads. Leeds and his men started to pull their guns, but the colonel motioned for his men to put them away as Matt and Sam rode into sight. They joined the other men for a few more seconds of silence.
Wondered when you two were going to show. As you can see, the Whaley gang already passed by here.
We followed them from town. We might have gotten an earlier start, but Josiah was injured. The doc says he'll be okay. We tried to catch up to them. I'm sorry that we weren't in time to save these men.
Nobody's to blame but the outlaws. They were soldiers doing their job. We'll get word to their families that they died doing their duty.
The outlaws are in Mexico now. We'll be going after them.
Whaley and his gang had splashed across the river and were into Mexico before dawn. Once safely across, they slowed their pace. They laughed and joked at how easy it had all been. Whaley, feeling generous, sent word for Ben to ride up and join him.
You did a good job, Ben. You took out that jail like a pro. We'll probably be able to use you again. You've earned a place with us, and I'll make sure you get a bonus for this job.
In the back with the others, Tom watched enviously as Whaley praised Ben.
Looks like your buddy and Dingo are hitting it off.
Pierce was riding beside Tom, leading one of the horses carrying the gold.
If Dingo likes you, he can be generous. If he doesn't like you, well, look at old Murdoch.
Why is he single Ben out for praise? It don't seem fair.
Stay with us and you'll learn quick that it's not fair that counts. It's what Dingo wants. If you want to keep on living, that is.
Tom said nothing more. He rode quietly, thinking about the unfairness of it all. It was his idea to ride south and find Whaley. He was the one who had told Whaley about Murdoch turning on him. He was the one who should be rewarded, not Ben. He also knew that Pierce was right and would not question Dingo Whaley's decisions. About 2 hours into Mexico, Whaley caught sight of a detachment of Mexican soldiers led by Delgado. Whaley neither sped up nor slowed his pace. He let Delgado come to him.
Was your operation a success?
Went off without a hitch. Took care of some personal business, got the gold, and got away without losing a single man. We'll divvy it up later, as agreed.
Delgado looked over the horses and men. He mentally estimated the amount of gold on the horses and the strength of the men compared to his own.
I will do you the honor of providing an escort the rest of the way.
You wouldn't be trying to say you don't trust us.
Much could happen, even now. I want to make sure everything arrives safely.
Deal's a deal.
I will keep some of my men behind to watch your back trail. I'm willing to bet all the gold on these horses that we'll have some uninvited visitors within the next few hours.
You think the army will cross a river? You said in your meeting that that official Easton and Colonel Leeds said the soldiers wouldn't cross. That was their orders.
I'm not talking army. I'm talking Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves. I saw Two Wolves in action. I heard about Bodine. They're crazy. If they decide to do something, they'll do it, come hell or high water.
Nobody was following us.
They'll be here.
They're just two men. Let us at them. We'll bring them down to size.
You may get your chance. For now, I'll leave some of my men behind. If they cross the river, I'll take them into custody. Maybe we can use them in some way. If not, we'll just have them killed. Either way, some time in our prisons might teach them the lesson they deserve.
No, that won't be allowed.
Matt and Sam looked at Holtz in disbelief. Matt stepped forward with clenched fists.
What did you say?
I said you will not be allowed to cross the Rio Grande into Mexico. That is the agreement we made with Mexican officials. Those are the orders from Washington.
I think I'd like to wring your scrawny neck.
Matt approached Holtz. Lead stepped between them. Matt paused.
I'm sorry. In this case, Holtz is right. My heart goes out to these dead men. I want to bring their murderers to justice. But we need to go through proper channels.
Out of my way, Colonel. I intend to walk right over that pipsqueak. This is no longer just a matter of law. The Whaley gang almost killed our friend. It's now a matter of blood, even if it extends across the river. I'm not going to let anybody stand in our way.
Just calm down. If you cross the river, you're not just breaking the law. You'd also be breaking the oath you took when you were sworn in as a Texas Ranger. You cannot openly defy the laws of the United States and of Texas and still wear those badges.
Matt stepped back calmly, reached up, and removed the badge from his chest. He threw it at Leeds, who caught it with one hand.
In that case, here's my badge. I don't need it. I don't want it.
Sam followed suit.
I'm with Matt. I resign. We can do more good for Josiah and for our country as private citizens than as law officers.
I'm sorry, but I can't allow it, even without your badges. I also have my orders.
If you still have ideas about slipping across, you cannot count on any help from the United States government. Neither we, nor the Army, nor the diplomatic services will be able to lift a finger to help you.
Do you really think that bothers us?
My orders are also to try to stop you if you do try to cross.
In that case, then, I'm sorry.
Matt's fist lashed out faster than the eye could follow. He struck the side of the colonel's face, knocking him backward to the ground. In the same fluid motion, he leaned down, unsnapped Leeds' holster, and removed his gun, throwing it into the grass several yards away. Sam, at the same time, pulled his gun and covered the other soldiers.
Nobody move, and nobody will get hurt. We have no argument with any of you.
The others turned to Leeds, looking for some kind of direction. He sat up, rubbing his cheek, looking dazed.
Now you've really done it. You've attacked an officer of the U.S. military. You're threatening civilians.
Allow me.
Sam didn't hit Holtz hard enough to really hurt him, but it also sent him sprawling and shut him up. The soldiers looked confused. Leeds motioned for his men to remain where they were.
They got the drop on us. No use trying to stop them. No need for you all to get killed as well.
This makes them criminals. This makes you both outlaws, just like Whaley and his gang.
Matt had pulled his own gun and was stepping into his saddle.
In some parts of Texas, I could shoot you for that kind of insult. But you're too stupid to know that's an insult. So I'll let it go this time.
If this makes us criminals, then that's the way it's going to be.
We'll be back with the prisoners and the gold, or we won't be back at all.
Yeah!
Matt and Sam then kicked their heels into the sides of the horses, who sprinted with new energy. They splashed into the Rio Grande, the water kicking up behind and around them.
Well, that's done with. There's no way we can stop them now. Let's get these dead soldiers back to Fort Concho.
Easton, Colonel Leeds could have stopped those men if he had wanted to. He intentionally let those men across.
Seems to me that Matt and Sam had the upper hand. The Colonel made a wise and prudent move.
Don't tell me you're siding with these men, who are little better than the outlaws they're chasing. Do I have to remind you that both of our careers hinge upon the results of this mission?
And do I need to remind you that some things are more important than careers?
You may not care about your career, but I, for one, don't want to have my job jeopardized by the outlandish stunts
of... Oh, shut up, Carl.
He turned away to watch the soldiers move the bodies. Holtz, still angry, pushed himself in front of Leeds. The colonel was still holding the two Texas Ranger badges that Matt and Sam had thrown at him.
Colonel Leeds, apparently my superior has gone as crazy as those two fools that just crossed the river. So I'm taking matters into my own hands. I demand to know what you plan to do with regard to Matthew Bodine and Sam Two Wolves breaking an unknown amount of laws in defiance of direct orders. Well, what do you plan to do?
Wish them luck, Mr. Holtz. Wish them luck.
The sun beat down on Matt and Sam as they continued slowly along the trail in Mexico. The scenery was much the same as it was on the United States side of the river, though the trail was less traveled, making the tracks of the Whaley gang that much clearer. The horses, however, were tired. The two Blood Brothers stopped at a small hollow near a stream where the horses could drink, graze, and rest. Matt and Sam took the opportunity to fill their own canteens and to check their guns and ammunition.
Hope this doesn't take too long. We've got ammunition and some food, but it might be hard to get new supplies down here.
This could have stood some better planning, but we've got Yankee dollars, and that will be enough if we need new supplies. But we probably won't need them. We can move in fast, get the job done, and get back home. We'll have to play it by ear, but we've faced tougher challenges.
I did hate to hit Leeds like that.
I can't say the same thing about punching out Holtz. I enjoyed that a lot. And Leeds will understand. You didn't hit him that hard.
Still, we're completely on our own this time.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
The two cinched their saddles and were about to be on their way again. The hands of Matt and Sam each dropped to their holsters.
Do not move, else we will be forced to blow your heads off.
Sam's hand moved a fraction of an inch. Sam's hand froze. From over the hill, a dozen Mexican soldiers stood, rifles pointed at Matt and Sam. They slowly raised their hands. The soldiers separated to make way for a figure on horseback who rode down to the stream.
Raul Delgado, it is good to see you again.
Keep your pretty words, Sam Two Wolves. This is not a meeting of diplomats, as it was the last time we met. You are now in my country. What are you two doing here?
Would you believe sightseeing?
Always ready with a smart comment, aren't you? No matter. Maybe you are here on some kind of investigation. Perhaps you are after some outlaw. In any case, you are on Mexican soil without proper authorization.
How do you know we don't have proper authorization?
Simply because I have not signed your papers. Therefore, you have improperly and illegally crossed the border.
How do you like that? The colonel must have forgotten to send the papers.
Those damn bureaucrats. Can't trust them for a second, can you? Well, I'm sure Senor Delgado will help to correct that.
Of course I will help you. It will take some time, however, to straighten out this situation. Men, take them into custody.
Hold it! We'll be straight with you. We are in Mexico searching for some outlaws. The Dingo Whaley Gang. They've committed numerous crimes across the border. We followed them here. They're all we're interested in.
Dingo Whaley. I've heard that name. You must want him very badly to defy your government to cross the border. Perhaps I can be of assistance. Of course, this might take even longer to straighten out. Until that time, consider yourself my prisoners.
Matt and Sam looked at each other, then at the dozen guns surrounding them. Now was not the time to fight. That time would come. Even so, they did not look up in time to see the soldier sneaking up behind them. With two swift blows, the Blood Brothers were knocked unconscious. Whaley had just sat down at a table and barely had time to finish his first beer.
Senor Whaley!
Damn.
He looked around, but was temporarily alone. Not even the bartender was present. He decided to ignore the voice. In a few moments, a soldier came into the room.
Senor Whaley! The Comandante requires your presence.
Tell him to go... Tell him I'll be there when I finish my beer.
Pierce, Jessup, Ben, and Tom entered as the soldier left.
They're looking for you, boss. They got something interesting for you.
What could possibly interest me now more than another beer? Unless maybe a new girl.
They got Bodine and Two Wolves.
Whaley put down the glass without finishing it.
Well, that is news. Let's take a look.
Whaley stepped outside just as Delgado's men were placing Matt and Sam in an outbuilding near Delgado's quarters. The soldiers literally threw the two Blood Brothers into the building and locked the door.
So that's the two Rangers that everybody's so upset about. They don't look so tough now.
Well, I faced them. They're plenty tough. Don't underestimate them. Delgado's men must have gotten a lucky break. Those two Rangers won't let it happen again.
Delgado waved away the comment with a flip of his hand.
With those two out of the way, we can now devote our time to more serious matters.
Around the corner of the building, a large wagon came into view, driven by two of the soldiers.
Let's talk about the gold.
The split was 80-20, I believe.
That was the figure agreed upon, but that did not include all the factors. There is the matter of storage, transportation, handling.
That was never brought up.
It should have been. I want to make sure the gold arrives safely, where it can be counted, divided, and stored safely. I've already made arrangements for transportation and storage.
So why the wagon?
This prison wagon has a false bottom. It is a perfect way to transport the gold without raising any suspicion.
And move it to where?
To my main headquarters, as agreed.
I'm not sure I trust you. How do I know you're not going to try and sneak away part of the gold when we move it?
Why don't you have your men move it into the wagon? That way you can be sure that I will not cheat you.
So we will. Pierce, get all the gang together. Take care of this. I'm getting another beer. And Delgado, I'm having some of my men on the wagon as you transport the gold. Understand?
That will be no problem to arrange.
Oh. Sam woke first. He opened his eyes and felt the pain in the back of his head. This was the first time in years that he had been surprised in this way, and he didn't like it. That Matt had been caught in the same trap was little comfort. Both knew better. It wouldn't happen again. Sam, noting his hands were tied in front of him with a rough rope, crawled over to Matt. His hands were also tied.
You all right?
Just feel stupid. How could we have let that son of a gun get the drop on us?
More importantly, how do we get out of this?
They looked around and saw not a jail cell, but a storage room. Sunlight streamed through the cracks in the shuttered windows.
I think I'm insulted. They didn't even bother to put us in a jail cell.
Sam moved over to the window and looked through the cracks in the shutters.
Don't get too insulted. I don't know where we are, but I'd wager this town isn't big enough to even have a jail. Take a look. Other than a cantina and a church, doesn't look like this town is much of anything.
Matt joined Sam at the window in time to see Dingo Whaley and several of his men come out of the cantina.
Well, look at that. Dingo Whaley himself. And with Delgado. No wonder he wasn't interested in helping us find the outlaw.
He's partners with Whaley. I suppose we should have guessed. They might have even had this whole thing arranged when Delgado was in the meeting with Easton and Holtz. That son of a bitch wasn't interested in striking a deal. He was up there to get more information about the gold shipment.
And to see how serious our government was about tying our hands.
And they played right into their game. Damn!
The information might prove interesting to Easton and his superiors in Washington. But the first thing is to find a way out of this.
He stood and started to explore the room. It was full of boxes, bags of corn, and metal farm implements, including a plow hanging from the wall. He awkwardly picked up a shovel with his tied hands.
You'd make a good farmer. You always did like to get down and dirty.
Yeah. I'll need this shovel to scoop through the manure you tossed my way.
Outside, a prison wagon had pulled up in front of the cantina. The horses used by the Whaley gang, including those with the gold, were in a pen next to the cantina. All of the Whaley gang, except for Dingo himself, had gathered together and made a line from the pen to the coach. Then they started to remove the gold from the backs of the horses, passed it from man to man until it reached the wagon. The final man took the gold and did something with it inside the wagon. The vehicle was angled so that Matt and Sam could not see the side with the door, but they could figure what was happening.
They're hiding the gold in the prison wagon. Why would they want to do that? Why not split it up now if that's what they were going to do?
This is Delgado at work. It isn't Whaley's style. This involves too many steps, and Whaley likes to keep things simple. Delgado's up to something.
And take a look at the soldiers that are starting to gather. I'd say Whaley's in for a little surprise.